you know, according to a recent survey, 70% of employees believe anonymous feedback is essential for a healthy workplace. But did anybody ask the managers how that anonymous feedback lands with them? Does it fit well? Do they agree? Do they disagree? Do they get defensive? And of course, it depends on which part of the aisle you are. If you are the employee anonymously giving that feedback, you would always believe what you are saying is accurate, needed to be said, and therefore it needs to be heard. But if you're at the receiving end, and some of you employees will become managers soon, will be on the other end of the aisle. Question is, how would you feel when you get the same feedback? What would your response mechanism be? Would it be defensive? Would you get agitated? Would you feel frustrated that, hey, that's not what I meant when I said you won't get to your numbers? I was not trying to discourage you. I was trying to give you a reality check. But hey, you took it otherwise. And what if we have a tough love conversation saying this is not working out? So do you then, as an employee, use the anonymous feedback mechanism or the tool as a weapon? Do you use it as a trolling mechanism? Is it your vengeance guide? Then now let me teach you a lesson. I couldn't say this in my one-on-one, but now I'm going to make sure that your bosses get to hear that. Is that the intent of the anonymous feedback? If this doesn't ring a bell, we also call this as trolling. Isn't it anonymous, faceless? Isn't that the definition of trolling as well? But let's not get there. We all know feedback is necessary, very important. But the question that we are going to dive in today is it being abused? Is the tool itself being ineffectively used in modern corporate environments? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Bus Talk, a podcast about your life at work, where I talk about stuff that no one really tells you at work. We try to address the complex, simplify the mumbo jumbo, and lay it on the table as it ought to be, as it should be. For the first time listeners, this is a slow burn content. There are no quick fix, get promoted faster, get your quota lesser kind of tips and tricks. This is a very simple straight talk. If this is something that floats your boat, you can go and check out the previous episodes on www.bustalk.in. That is bustalk.in. Bustalk.in is the website where all the previous episodes neatly categorized under various headers. You could have leadership, business development, people management, and a whole bunch of other categories where you can pick the topic which excites you, which you find intriguing, and you can see a list of episodes right there. So do go and check that website out. Well, in this episode, we are going to take this tricky conversation from either end of the aisle, from the employee perspective to a manager's guide, where we try and navigate the shadows of anonymous feedback and also get to the bottom of the right ways to deliver the feedback, especially if you've been wronged as an employee. What's the right mindset to have? What could be the things to think about before you give such feedback? And likewise, on the other side of the aisle, if you're a manager, in the receiving end of tough love or tough feedback, how do you assess it? Is everything wrong? Is everything incorrect? Has been said, there is no smoke without fire. There must have been something that you must have done which evokes such a response. And if you have, how do you identify it? How do you detect it and ensure that that becomes an isolated incident or one-off thing, and it's not a repetitive feature in your career in the company? How do you ensure that you act on that feedback and improve upon it instead of getting defensive about it? Alternatively, if you have been wronged, how do you then justify your case that, hey, this is factually incorrect and this is the actual fact? Here are the probable list of evidences that I have to suggest what I'm saying is factually accurate. So we'll explore this from, as always, like BusTalk does not give you an unidimensional path or unidimensional way to think. We will cover 360 degrees from both sides. So I'll spend the first half from an employee giving feedback versus employee receiving feedback. And then the second half where manager giving feedback and manager receiving feedback. So it gives you a neutral way to get a sense on both sides of the story. And then you make up your mind and reflect back. I mean, the goal, of, if you exit this podcast with this thought that, hey, I think I was on the right track, that'd be a great thing. It would also be a great thing if you then realize that, oh, maybe I did something wrong and I need to rectify. That also is a great exit for this episode, as is the case with all BusTalk episodes. But the whole goal is to make you think, reflect, maybe introspect a little bit and see if you could become a better version of yourself. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sit back, relax, watch where you're walking, put on your headphones and listen to BusTalk. So let's start with the employee perspective. Let me define the employee. You have an employee reporting to a supervisor slash manager, and you've been presented with a tool to give feedback about all the experiences that you've had. It will encompass how you interact with your leader, with your boss. It would encompass any other hidden problems that you were unable to express, maybe to the HRBP. This platform is fantastic to express the hidden without being outed. And why is it anonymous? And why is it not trolling? Is because it is a platform to make sure that nobody abuses the system, even if it is your own manager, because in the past, we have often found and seen that people abuse power. People abuse their position. People abuse their reach and influence. And so it necessitated a platform where people, you know, fear retaliation. If I spoke up against my manager, I would trigger a perception that I'm the problem child. And so I'd never be open to give it a positive feedback. I'd never be open to give a constructive feedback. I'd always have to comply and in many cases remain shut. And so it necessitated this situation to have a platform where you can freely express your views. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. The question is it being used and used properly? And is there any kind of accountability? The trouble with anonymity is that the accountability quotient is then debatable. What percentage of it is an emotional outburst versus factually correct statement? So, but we'll address that later in the conversation. For now, is there a need to have an anonymous platform? Not a platform, is the anonymous feedback? Answer is yes, absolutely. Situations where employees can freely express whatever there is in their mind definitely needs to be there. It creates a sense of belonging. It creates that I'm being heard. It prevents and keeps checks and balances where the abuse of situation, power, position is controlled, right? And therefore, there is more equitable work-life situations at any given team or in any given team, which is a very desirable thing. Next, constructive feedback versus destructive feedback. Now, you're an employee. Instead of your ideas are terrible, providing more context to your ideas would make it a little more clearer and impactful. So you could always think that if your region has been changed, if your seating has been changed, or if your patch is somewhere else, or you've been given a separate set of accounts, or if you've been assigned a set of customers who've traditionally not generated revenue, there is this immediate feeling of victimhood that, oh my God, I'm going to miss my numbers, I'm going to miss my deadlines, my goals, what have you. And then I will get reprimanded for missing that. And then it's like a double whammy. not only do I impede my career growth, I also don't make money because the incentives won't come because I didn't get to my prescribed goals. I will get questioned in the QBR. I will get rammed in various meetings and so on and so forth. So why should I not complain about it? And why should I be this one person to take on the mantle of, finding water on Mars? I don't know. I want to be near Miami. I want to be near Mumbai. I don't want to be in a desolate area where there is no revenue, where there is no productivity, where there is, the odds are stacked against us. So, and then when you do put me there, I need a platform where I can go and express my frustration. Why give it to somebody else? It's not my problem. I'm a good resource. Do you want to set me up for failure? Do you want to set, is that what you want? And how does that help you as a manager? How does that help you? If I fail, for example, is it not your failure as well? If you're going to set me up for failure, how does that work out for you? Because, or are you going to throw me under the bus saying, well, everybody else achieved their numbers, but this person missed it? How does that reflect on your maturity levels? How does that reflect on your people management levels or your equitable tackling of the team? How does that reflect on you? So the question, these are all very real questions, like they say, to each their own. There is a way. So if you're an employee in this predicament, in this precarious situation where, according to you, things are stacked up against you, right? How do you give constructive feedback versus destructive? Absolutely, you ram through it. So one of the ways to do it is to take a objective, fact-based, non-rhetorical, objective, fact-based, non-rhetorical presentation of the situation. So take the example of you being reassigned a desolate territory where there is no revenue, where there is historically preceding 3 years, there has been nothing. So then as a one-on-one conversation, you should say, here is the 3-year data. This has been the average revenue of $100. You've put my target as $200. Here are the 5 things that I need to get to $500. Can you help me get those 5 things? If the answer is no, I can't get you those 5 things, I can only get you 2 things, then should we not consider revising it? Document this, state it without getting agitated, without getting amplified about it. Like, state it objectively. I know we need to do this. Here are the activities that I will do. So if to get to, say, $500 of target, and these are hypothetical numbers and related to your fields, because I'm giving a sales and business development kind of an angle here, related to any other complexity or difficulty level in whichever other department that you might be. So if getting to $500 requires 10 things to be done or 10 activities to be done, here is the plan for it. Here is how I plan to do those 10 things. What I need to know and help from you, Miss Manager or Mr. Manager, is if these don't work, can you tell me what are the other things I can do to get to those numbers? Well, I don't want to miss my numbers. I don't want to miss my target, my goals, my incentives depend on it. My career progression in the company depends on it. So I know what needs to be done. What the help that I need from you is, how do we do it? You can't just come back here and tell me, okay, that's your job, you figure out. No, that doesn't work, right? So as an employee, when you are put under a situation which is not to your liking, the first step that you need to do is take emotion out of it. Emotion clouds your objectivity. Emotion clouds your judgment. Emotion makes you look less serious about it. That's how the corporate structure is designed everywhere. And probably rightly so, because emotional outbursts, when die down, usually turn out that they were far away from the facts of the case. And therefore, the world largely relies on you being left-brained while always asking you to have a high emotional quotient. And that's a separate episode altogether right there. You want me to be left-brained, but you want me to have great EQ. How does that work? And so somewhere, that's the dichotomy of it. Be objective about the precarious situation, document it, ask help. It need not straight away start in year 4 of accusation and sarcasm and victimhood and all that. It has to start, and there is a step to every escalation. Step 1, I tried to reason with my boss. Here are the 3 things I tried. Here is the documentation of it. I did my research on the data that is available. Here is the trend analysis. And here are the 2 or 3 things I am willing to be open about, willing to try to make sure that it has to. I'm not saying I will not take up this position or this situation. I'm not shying away from a challenge. Let it not be construed as I only want to be in the creme de la creme place. And I'll give you some example where, you know, one new guy joined, a young rookie who joined, and he said, why? And this is for those familiar with India, and I'll relate it to, say, US as well. Or let me start with US and then I'll relate it to India. So this guy who joined is a field sales guy who joined, and the territory that he got was, you know, Northern California and above, as in Sacramento and towards Oregon and all that. But his ask was, why can't I get Bay Area? Why can't I go sell there? And closer home, the guy joined in, the office was in Mumbai, but the territory assigned to him was further down. Like you go into Solapur, Kolhapur, Durg, beyond Pune on the west coast of India. And so the ask was, why do I have to start from all these, you know, tier 2 cities and outskirts? Why can't I get the accounts on Nariman Point in Mumbai? You know, it's like the financial district, the HQ of all business, if you were to say. And so then the analogy is, there are guys who are already doing this for a very long time, and you have to earn your right to be there. One cannot, as a manager, hand over the top tier accounts to you because you just arrived. You know, and this is a difference between people with tenure versus people with less tenure. Tenure as in tenure in the role versus people with less tenure. Now, it sometimes gets neutralized with people with great experience. Now, this guy, there was a position opened in Mumbai for the financial district because the preceding guy left the organization. Then it gets replaced by whoever is next best eligible within the team. That's option 1. Alternatively, hire someone from the market, perhaps from competition, who can absolutely like for like fit the bill and hit the ground running. So that there is no ramp up and all that stuff, right? They have been in the same region, same area, selling to the same set of customers, now from a different company. That also works well. So, but this rookie who's just joined, who does not have similar experience, people would be slightly reluctant to say, how can I just hand you over the creme de la creme, the top 10 accounts? It doesn't work. So they are often relegated to the back of the, you know, regions, and they struggle. So back to our example, if you are in such a predicament, if you're in such a situation where you've been handed over a project which is traditionally not done well, the idea is not to get defensive about it. Idea is to, this is the time to take up the challenge. This is the time to show that, yes, you will fight against everything and make it a success. And you might think, why should I do all that? Well, that's your learning curve, that in all times in your career, you will not have favorable situations. You will have sometimes unfavorable situations. In fact, if you ask most leaders, they will tell you, majority of the times you have unfavorable situations, somewhere interspersed with favorable good situations in between. That's how careers generally pan out. And so it's not that it's walk in the park, right? For the guys selling in downtown financial district, it's not walk in the park. The stakes are very high. The competition is even higher. And the inches are even smaller, if that could be. And so very difficult to even sell there if you're not on, you know, absolutely razor's edge. And so I look at it as an opportunity that I've been given a difficult situation. I'm taking this for the team. I will take the higher ground. So you, as an employee, address this with your manager in that one-on-one session that now this is a situation, given condition, let's agree that I will not have the same level of runway that some of my other colleagues who are probably in a better region, patch, product, what have you, might have. How will you address this? How will you recognize this as a performance, as a hard work? What constitutes a good job? Can it be the same measure metric for these two diverse activities, even though we are selling the same products or services, but in separate geographies, has a very different connotation to it? Will you acknowledge it? Will you agree to it? So that's constructive feedback. Instead, what usually managers get to see is destructive feedback. Instead of having, and it's a, you know, objective, 1, 2, 3, instead of all these, people jump straight to the fourth gear and say, you are trying to screw me. You are trying to make sure that I fail. You're trying to make sure that this doesn't work out so that you can take me out of the team. Maybe you don't like me. Maybe you don't like the way I look. Maybe you don't like the way I talk. Maybe I am not like you as a person. And so it's a manager's bias. And so therefore, you are putting me in a spot where I am more likely to fail than to succeed. And so this is destructive feedback. These are examples of destructive feedback. Constructive feedback, I give you the example. Destructive feedback, you get the example. Very important to remove emotional outburst as much as it, you know, I can feel it, right? It's there and you firmly believe it is true. But calm down, relax. I wish I could play some Nirvana music right now. Calm down, relax. The world is not out to get to you. World is not out there to take your happiness. Everything is not bad. Not all managers are bad. It's not like that. As a manager, and if you are a manager, let me sensitize you. If you are a manager in that similar situation, what is it that you would have done differently? And if you have a solution to that, share that with your manager. But you know, given the situation, while I will definitely take up this as a challenge, that's a positive sign. However, so that I don't miss out on my incentives or on my recognition of whatever, can you also give me ABC? Let me take this as a stretch project, but allow me this opportunity to at least get to my 100%. And then, whatever be the case, figure out a mid path instead of becoming this roadblock that unless I get the best, I will not work. It doesn't work like that, right? You wouldn't be able to do it any differently when you become a manager. So always remind yourself of that and be objective about the situation. Now, I know some of you have been in situations where you've been on the right and your manager has been on the wrong. And these need to be documented in strong words, which is fair, which is fine. But again, without emotions attached to it. And of course, you can, I mean, let me see if I can articulate this correctly. Objectively stating your emotional unhappiness. I don't know, that's an oxymoron. In the sense, if the manager has abused you in some way, like if in a team meeting, he's had tough conversation with you and you probably felt a little humiliated that, oh my God, how could she talk down to me like this? She shouldn't be saying things like that to me. You have a right to feel bad. We are humans. We all have emotions. So it's not like we become robots. There is a way to give difficult feedback. It need not be in public. That said, there are also instances when it's not directed towards one person. It is probably meant for the whole team, but the manager is probably looking at you. You know what I'm saying? So yes, this is a judgment call that, and this is the gray area, right? There could be this way or that way. It could be right or wrong. Somewhere you take the judgment call. Is this an exception or is this a trend? If you see this as a trend where your manager repeatedly picks on you and you alone, yes, there is a problem. And if it is like this one-off case when, yeah, today it was me, tomorrow is somebody else, You could also argue, why is it that this person has to pick on someone or the other every week? That's a separate conversation. But this objectivity is important so that you view it in a way that, is it just me or is it everybody? And what is the reason for frustration? Is there a resolution to it? There is no doubt in my mind, there are a lot of immature managers out there. There are lots of incompetent managers, and don't ask me how they became managers. And that, again, probably will take 3 or 4 episodes to define that. How incompetent managers, incompetent people get to be managers. That's a good episode idea, I think. I'll probably write it down. But it happens. It exists, right? So there's no point in denying it. And I just hope and pray that none of you are stuck with such people, because they are very difficult to do away with. No two ways about it. But the idea is to navigate in this corporate world, right? How do you survive? Jumping ships, jumping jobs is something that you have to be careful, calculated, and watchful about. But I'll address that a little later. Let's conclude this section, like constructive feedback, destructive feedback, right? So steer clear from destructive feedback. Don't let out the vengeance code in you. Like, don't activate the "I will destroy you back" kind of mess. It's not required. Be objective about it. Be clear, concise, and crisp about it. And see, and give it time. Sometimes it's not instant reaction. Sometimes it takes some time to come back. So give it some time. Be objective about it. Observe it, monitor it, and then if it's not working, escalate it to the next level. So that's the right way to go about it. Choosing the right channels, right? So while the company suggestion box might seem secure, digital platforms are more reliable, being anonymous, you can rest assured that you will not be retaliated against. Most organizations, and I don't say all, most organizations, if you do lodge a complaint against your manager anonymously, it remains anonymous. There is no way that people can find out. That's one very good thing about it. And even if the manager comes to know, they cannot retaliate, because that is a recipe for disaster. But there is a difference between retaliation and clarification. If clarification is redefined as retaliation, then we have a problem. So clarification can all, given the state of mind, you could say, well, the person is getting defensive because I gave tough feedback. Now that the manager can say the same, just because I had a tough conversation, the person has become agitated and is giving me a tough time. What else can I do? How else do I document a feedback which is not favorable? Right? So cuts both ways. But to sum up the employee perspective, for giving anonymous feedback, the need for anonymity, absolutely important. Constructive versus destructive feedback, stick to constructive feedback, and then choosing the right channels, right? Give the right platforms, have the confidence to know that you are here to make things work and in the right way, rather than, you know, disrupting everything. Those are the things to keep in mind. And so reflect back on situations in the past where you've given destructive feedback, perhaps, or were you always giving constructive feedback? Could you do something differently the next time? Is something to think about. In the next segment, let's talk about from a manager's perspective and see how they deal with tough feedback. Okay, managers are humans. They are not robots. They have emotions. A manager was once an employee, or a people manager was once an individual contributor, just like you are today. You are an individual contributor today. You will become a people manager tomorrow if you so choose to. Just a side note, nothing wrong with any of you becoming or remaining as individual contributor throughout your life and being as successful and earning the same amount of money as a people manager at the same level. Fact. So don't think that becoming a people manager is the only way to become successful. Becoming a senior individual contributor, being a subject matter expert, also means that you have grown in your career. So that aside, so managers, yes, it is very difficult when you get to hear negative feedback about you, because here you are thinking, oh my God, I have not even begun to give all the stuff that I've done behind the scenes. Otherwise, it'll look like I'm showing off. Otherwise, it'll sound as if I'm, thrusting my point of view and making such a big hullabaloo about stuff that I anyways needed to do. And so when you do get this negative feedback, the initial reaction is very difficult to digest. You're almost surprised or shocked at the ferocity of it, the viciousness around it. You think it's vicious feedback. It's like somebody whipping you, somebody like backstabbing you, like, oh, who is this person? I mean, that's going on as a human emotion in your mind. And that is where the problem is. If you're a manager listening to this, one of the things that is expected of you is to remain calm. Again, Nirvana music playing. Imagine Nirvana music playing. Remain calm. Yes, the employee might have had a difficult day. Maybe they are going through a difficult situation. You need not suddenly start to doubt your people management capabilities. So first, just like the employee feedback, the feedback to you as a manager is to stop vilifying yourself and thinking everything is wrong with you, denting your confidence, and then also not getting super defensive about it, that this can never happen. I will never do something like that. That is also not accurate. Right now, when you have received the feedback, calm down, note it down, write it down. All the 20, 30 people that are in your team or whatever the number of people, note it down, bucketize it. Can you bucket it, categorize it? That, okay, these outbursts were against me asking the team to come on time. These reactions were on territory management. These reactions were pertinent to incentives or whatever. Bucketize it and see within those three or four buckets that you have of all the 10 tough feedbacks that you've got, what could you have done better/differently? Would then that have a different result? That's something for you to introspect. So the initial reaction, it's okay to feel disappointed. It's fair. But don't let it consume you. You shouldn't lose sleep over it. I know the pressure builds in you because you think that your manager and management are seeing it, and they're going to side with the employee and not with you, and you get caught in the middle without having to explain your case. That is not true. You will get your chance to explain. And if you have documented stuff periodically, consistently, you can share your side of the story. Look, as a manager, your manager has also gone through the same cycle. They have also understood this feedback mechanism, when it is a emotional destructive feedback versus actually constructive feedback. And if they agree that this is required as an area of improvement for you, then that's something for you to think, that why are people above me and below me think that I need to change something? Why is that? And if that means you're not being able to communicate your point of views, then do so. Have a one-on-one separate conversation. Say, here is the feedback. Here is what I actually tried to do. And so here is what the outcome was. Have that conversation upfront. Don't shy away from it. Don't get defensive about it. And in the process, if you get constructive, objective feedback from your senior management, that yes, I've understood your point of view, I see where you're coming from, even then, can you tweak these two things to see the next feedback cycle, these objections don't come around? That's a positive way to go ahead. Right? And if you are a super manager, as in manager's manager listening to this, it is incredibly difficult to not listen to the individual contributor. Absolutely, you should be listening. But it's also very important to listen to your directs, as in your manager's point of view, very objectively and compassionately, as you are being compassionate to the individual contributors. And so that's the stress that you have as a manager's manager, where you have to balance both things. It is absolutely clear that you want everybody to succeed as a senior manager, that you don't want people to not succeed, right? That's not the goal. And you cannot make the manager as the scapegoat. You can't say, oh, if 10 people said the manager is bad, then let me chuck the manager out. That doesn't reflect well on your maturity either, right? Where you have to figure out, why are they saying so? What is the message? For all you know, the guy is saying, all I did was to ask the team to come in at 9 o'clock sharp, because that's when the day starts. I wanted to start the day on time, and the team refused to do that. But when I put a disciplinary action for it, people revolted and complained against me. And so you will often find yourself in situation, and I'm giving a very simplistic example, of course, but the construct remains the same, where the negative feedback, the destructive feedback coming through often is a result of something that the employee either misunderstands or disagrees with fundamentally. And the way to for you to think is, did this manager convey it or clarify it enough for it to be understood correctly? If the answer is yes, then absolutely support your manager. If the answer is no, please give them the same constructive feedback, not destructive feedback. And so back to you being the manager, the initial reaction, don't lose sleep over it. Be objective, bucketize, figure out what is the pattern. Is there a pattern? Self-analyze, because the solution to all these problems starts with you. Okay, if this is happening, why is it happening and how do I fix it? Is the first thing that you need to be ready with before you talk to HRBP or your manager. Next, analyzing this feedback. You neutralize the initial reaction, then analyze the feedback and see a pattern and counter each pattern. Don't leave anything out thinking or rule out saying, well, this is a no-brainer. Nothing is a no-brainer. Everything has to be looked into. Why is this being? If it is a maturity issue, have a conversation with the team that here are the challenges in executing. That also aids to your management style, transparency. Many a times people assume that this is happening, like for example, in salary hikes. It is always the case where person A gets a salary hike and the person B does not. And then the person B is so agitated saying that manager is playing favoritism. That is not the case. And if you're an employee listening to this, it is not the case of favoritism. There are multiple factors. And I've said this in many previous episodes, and I say this at the risk of repeating myself. You are not hired to do 99%. You are hired to deliver 100%. That does not equal a promotion automatically. Oh, I worked really hard, so I did 110%. Well, that's why you get your bonus / incentives. That's not also automatically grant or guarantee you a promotion. It makes you eligible. What almost makes it certain is that, yes, this person has been consistently delivering on the promises made, on the KPIs, KRAs, what have you. However, additionally, this person is taken on a stretch project, has taken on a difficult patch or a territory, or helped the team member who was not doing well, and so many other factors. And therefore, when at a manager level, when there are five people who have all been eligible, you do not have the budget to promote one person or give a hike to to all the five people. You can only give it to maybe one or two people. Then those two people who have done this delta X differently usually get the nod. And that's how it works. And so it's important, if you're a manager, to come back to analyzing what transparency you need to have with the team so that they understand that they're not being victimized or left alone. Give that transparency and clarity. What is happening around in the ecosystem? And therefore, those who get it will get it, and those who don't get it, they don't get it, right? I mean, then you can have a separate one-on-one. Lastly, create a feedback mechanism. Like once a manager gets a feedback, you appreciate the honesty. Absolutely, thank you for being upfront about it. But I will also not forget about it, not in a vindictive way, but in a positive, constructive way. What do I mean by that? When you then, it's not like forget about it, it was a one-off thing. You do address that issue again till it no longer exists. And you do it in a civil way, you do it in an objective way, set aside time. I know you're super busy. Set aside some time. So if you foster a feedback friendly culture, like let's have a heart to heart chat, no notes, no nothing. Can we just have a chat and speak your mind? Like, tell me what is worrying you. And then can I also tell you what's worrying me? See if that you have that trust with your team where you can have an open dialogue. And then sometimes it starts with acknowledging that, hey, I made a mistake here. And here's what I'm doing to fix it. So you are a manager. You don't become bad or small or lesser if you stand up and say, yep, I screwed up here. Or maybe this was an oversight. It was not deliberate. And I'm willing to change. I'm willing to rectify it. Here is what I'm trying to do. It only raises your stature. It doesn't bring your stature down. Some of the most secure leaders, you know, emotionally, mentally secure, and that's a leadership trait for those who aspire to be leaders. You have to be supremely secure about your ability to lead a team. Secure, not arrogant, secure, not overconfident, just confident and secure. Saying that, okay, I am here because I deserve to be here and I will do a good job at it. There are times that despite my well-meaning intentions, sometimes it may not have had the impact that I was thinking, or it has not landed the way I thought it would land. Yep, I'm willing to relook at it. That's fine. So encourage this open dialogue. See if you can get them to come to a mid path. And you as a manager, always engage with real, authentic conversations. Don't give this mumbo jumbo and this, you know, big talk and all. There's fatigue. There is mumbo jumbo fatigue in the organization. There's just too much of politically correctness that is happening. Sometimes you've got to call a spade and have conversation. So it could be that you do a workshop where people give feedback without worrying about being judged. So as a manager, don't doubt yourself. Be objective about the feedback that you've got. Have some actionable items that you do. Share with your manager and share with the team. And then also let them know that this is not a defense mechanism. This is, I am working on your feedback. But it is also incumbent on you as a team to work on the feedback that I am giving you. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. You know what I'm saying? So if I were to conclude this, if I were to just sum this up for you, I think my key takeaway is that anonymous feedback is absolutely important to secure and protect the unheard, the unsaid, the unspoken voice of the troubled employee. But it is also a double-edged sword if misused. There has to be some checks and balances, some objectivity from all layers of management to understand and separate what is an emotional outburst and what is an objective, fact-based feedback. With that, I'll just leave it at that because it is incredibly difficult to, you know, come to one side or the other. And it's never a battle. It's not a battle between you and your manager. If you're an employee or if you're a manager, it's not you're trying to show this particular individual that, oh, this is the only bad apple in the team and everyone else is a pear or good apple. No, that is not the case. They were hired because they were the best. That's why you rejected 6 other people and 30 other shortlists and whatever. Likewise, if you're an employee and you know she's your manager for a reason, she's not just plonked in there. And the person must have done something in life to warrant that. You may agree or disagree, but you have to accept it. That's the way of the world. And lastly, I would just say, never, never, ever, ever forget. I don't know why I said that 2 times. You too aspire to be a people manager someday. Always write down that if this is the situation, how would I have dealt with it differently, given the team dynamics, given the situation, need of the hour, whatever the complexity that might be. And immediately you will probably become or lean towards more objectivity and do away with emotional outbursts. That's all the time I had for this episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Wow, that was a tough conversation, I thought. Very difficult, right, for me to be as neutral, and very difficult to be objective and neutral, because I've been on both sides. I've been as individual contributor, I've been a middle manager, I've been a senior manager. And so most of the feedback is very objective and neutral, and pros and cons on all these layers. There is complexity, and that's why surviving in the corporate ladder is difficult. There is a challenge every step of the way. And so I just want to make sure that you all are better informed than perhaps some of us were way back then. And so that's the intent and goal, that it probably would make you think the next time the next feedback survey comes along. Keep listening to Buzz Talk. Share it with those people who might need to hear this. And if you think you want to repost this on LinkedIn, please feel free to do so. If you want to, you know, leave a feedback on Apple Podcast and review. And as I've always said, Buzz Talk is a work in progress. Even I am learning, I am realizing as I speak. And so nothing is etched in stone. And if something that is working well for you, that's great. I mean, absolutely go ahead and do that. In fact, share your thoughts and I'll give you a shout out here on the show. I mean, I'm happy to hear, oh, in this situation, I tried these two, three things differently and it worked wonderfully well. Absolutely open to that. Until we meet the next time, stay well, stay safe. Have a great Diwali. Happy Diwali to all those who celebrate Diwali. Please, please have a cracker-free Diwali. And this is not the woke version of it. It's just to say, I have a pet who gets super scared when the crackers go off. To all the animals out there, you know, there's nobody thinking about them. So if not for the environment, give a thought about the animals. For them, the sound decibels scare them, emotionally scar them, traumatize them. They get, then there's no help for them, for majority. Even for the pets at home, there are street dogs who get as affected, but nobody really cares for them as much. And so have a peaceful Diwali, have a light-filled Diwali, and I hope you have a great festive season with your friends and family and loved ones. Until we meet the next time, this is your host, Ayan, and you are listening to Buzz Talk.